All right, we're both saying we're on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Does Sharon make yourself a comb if my stuff is in the way?
I think it's the chest.
Okay.
It's too hard to walk here.
So we're both saying we're on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. And we're up to the middle of the page, which you'll see a Tosis on the right side, Prat, if that helps you. And about one line above that is the Itmar. But just to review what we've said so far, we had two versions of a statement of Rabbi Yochanan regarding what's called Shelo Kedarka, which means if you do something, you eat something, or you enjoy the benefit of something in an unusual way. That it's not the Derech HaRegilus. And according to the first version of Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about an achila shelo kederech achilasan. And the Gemara gives an example. What shelo kederech achilasan, an achila, instead of eating chelev cooked, he eats it raw. That's not the usual way of doing it. The second version of Rabbi Yochanan extends this principle of shelo kederech a little bit further and applies it even to hana. Even if you are benefiting in a way which is not the normal way you benefit, let's say you take chelev, and again, chelev of Isuri Hanah means chelev of Shor HaNiskal, and you recall that we had a whole discussion about Shor HaNiskal, that Shor HaNiskal is Osir Hanah, and the chelev of Shor HaNiskal is Osir Hanah. And now he takes the chelev, and instead of eating it, he uses it for medicinal purposes, and he puts it on his makkah. He has some sort of a bodily injury. So those were the two versions of Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're up to Itmar Nami. And the Gemara now is quoting a different Amora, who also has a version of Rabbi Yochanan. We'll see if this version is similar to the ones that we had until now, or it's different. Omar Av Acha Bar Avya Omar Av Asi Om Rav Yochanan, all again a tradition that leads us back to Rav Yochanan. He niach chelev shel Shor HaNiskal al gavi makoso potur. So now we're talking about chelev of Shor HaNiskal, which is Isurei Hanah, and instead of eating it, he uses it for medicinal purposes, as a sav. Is that how you pronounce it in English?
Sav.
On his injury. And he's potter. Why is he potter? Lefisha koli surin shabbat Torah ein lokin aleim eladerech hanaasam. That the only time you get malchus for violating an isur hanah is if you do it kederech, the normal way it's done. And the way you normally use chelev is to eat the chelev rather than use it, apply it for medicinal purposes. Now here we have to make a point. The Gemara says here in the name of Yochanan that in this case of hiniach chelev shel Shor HaNiskal gavi makoso potur means ein lokin aleihem. So the word potur here clearly, explicitly means that he doesn't get malchus. And that's a problem for us, because as we discussed last week, there were two approaches to answer the same question, but the assumption of both approaches was that you don't get malchus for violating Isur Hanah. Even if you do it kedarka, if you do it the normal way. One approach was that that hanah is called something that's tafel. Tafel means it's not the main, what? It's not primary. That's not the primary way that you enjoy something. You know, the primary hanah that you get is achila, not hanah, not to benefit from it in another way. And the other approach was to say that since the Torah never explicitly mentions Isur Hanah, we only derive from the fact that in the case of Nevela, the Torah had to be Matir Hanah, of La, you know, of La Ger Shevashrech and Tetanena, implying that elsewhere it would be Osir Hanah, or alternatively, the way Chizkiah says it, when it says Lo Yeachel, it implies Hanah, but Hanah is never written explicitly in the Torah. And therefore, you don't get malchus, because you only get a corporeal punishment that's meted out by the Beis Din if you violate something that's in the Torah itself. It's got to be mefurish in the Torah, lehedge in the Torah. So this Gemara here the way it's formulated here seems to indicate that had he violated the Isar Hana in the normal way of doing it, then in fact he would get Malkus, right? Look at the language. It says, Kali Surim, right? It says, where's the Lashon here? He says, Kali Surim Shabbat Torah, Lokin Alehem, Eladerech Hanasam. Implying very, it's almost explicit that you would get Malkus. Now, I'll just mention to you here, that's brought down in the footnote here in the Masifti, he brings down a whole cadre of Rishonim who actually are of the opinion that you do get Malkus for violating Isuri Hanna. And that's against everything we've been saying until now, so we shouldn't go on record as saying he has the Piski Riaz, as he has Rabbeinu Yonah, and they claim that the Hanenem Yisra Hano Kiderech Hano, so if he does it the normal way, Loke gets Malkus. On the other hand, he quotes the Chinuch, Rabbeinu Aaron Alevi in Sefer Chinuch, in Mitzvah Kuf Yud Gimel, he says, Ein Lokin Al Hano. He says that you don't get Malkus for Hano. And the Mishnah Melech understood in the Rambam that ain't lokin al isur hana, and the reason for that is because it's not mefurish b'Torah, it's not explicit in the Torah. So we have a whole plugta here about whether you get Malkus for violating an isur hana.
If you wouldn't get Malkus, what would you get?
If there's no Malkus, then it's like a person who doesn't sit in sukkah, or he doesn't take a lulav, or he doesn't eat matzah, we might beat him up, but I don't mean literally Malkus. You know, we somehow apply pressure to make sure that he fulfills the Torah. Again, today I don't think it'll work, but in those times, but there's no official Malkus here. Now, he has here Magid Mishnah, that the Magid Mishnah thinks that according to the Rambam, you do get Malkus for violating an Isra. No, not like the Mishnah Lamel. So we have a debate within the Rambam whether he belongs to that school of thought that you don't get Malkus for Isra No, or that the Rambam holds you do get Malkus for Isra No. However, even according to the Magid Mishnah, in a case of something that's a Nechal, meaning it's royal Achila, if you have something that can be eaten, Ein Lokin Al Hano Mihem, meaning that Hanor becomes secondary, and therefore you don't get Malkus, because the primary use of this object is to eat it. And basically, he's almost as if he's saying that if you use a machal, something that's edible, and you use it for Hanor purposes, that's already shalom kedaka, that's already unusual, because why waste it on Hanor when you can enjoy it in Achila by eating it? In any event, Rabosa, it comes out that there's a major, major plugta here, and we should note it as we go through the sugya as to whether or not we should read this Gemara literally, and a simple interpretation of reading of the Gemara indicates that there is Malkus for Isurei Hanoah, when you get Hanoah, as long as you do it Kederech Hanoasim, if it's done in the normal way. And yet we have a whole bunch of Rishonim and Achronim and explanations for the logic that you don't get Malkus for violating Hanna. Now again, in the case of Chelev of Shor Niskal, the reason why using it for medicinal purposes, the Gemara says is potter, is because it's Shalo Kederech Hanna Asam. In other words, the normal way of using Chelev is to eat it. Again, cook it and eat it. And now he says that Chelev, which is not of Shor HaNiskal, and we had a long discussion about this at the beginning of last week, is Mutar Banah. It's only Chelev of Shor HaNiskal that's also Banah. Did you notice that? When the Gemara wants to give a case of Chelev that's also Banah, the Gemara quotes Chelev Shel Shor HaNiskal, because the Torah with regard to Shor HaNiskal says that Shor HaNiskal is also Banah, and now the Chelev, insofar as it's part of the Shor HaNiskal, is also also Banah. But chelev of a normal, you know, not a shor niskal, is mutar b'hano. Remember, we had two psukim. We had one pasuk to tell me that it's mutar b'hano in the case of hegdesh litzorach hegdesh, and the other case was litzorach meleches hedjot. But basically, he takes the chelev and he uses it to tan his hides, and that was mutar. Right? What was the pasuk? It says, "Lechol malachi yasa lechem." Remember that pasuk. So therefore, if let's say you took regular chalev and you would put it on your makah, then even if you would convince me that using the chalev in this case there for the makah as a sav would be kederach hanaso, you'd still be allowed to do so, because again, chalev is mutar b'hanah. Now here we have another principle. Did anyone here ever learn the last perek in Yoma and am willing to admit it? I won't test you. And you remember the last perek in Yoma deals with the five inuyim on Yom Kippur and derives each one of the five inuyim. And the question is, what about shesia? What about drinking? We're not allowed to drink on Yom Kippur. And the psukim about achila, but not about shesia. So the Gemara says that achila and shesia go together. Then the Gemara asks about sicha, when you take oil and you rub it on your body. Why is that one of the five inuyim? And the Gemara says that sicha is kishtia. So you start with achila, then you say shtia is keachila, and then you say sicha is kishtia. Now, if sicha is kishtia, then if I use chalev to rub it on my body, then that becomes sicha kishtia. And even though the Torah permits hana in the case of chalev, as long as it's not a shor niskal, but nevertheless, the Torah prohibits achila. And if the Torah prohibits achila of chalev, it means even shesia. And then sicha becomes included in shesia. So how could the Gemara imply here that the only reason that we prohibit you from using the chalev on your body, to smear it on your body, is only because it's shalom kedarko, implying that, it's only because it's a shor niskal and it was shalom kedarko, implying that had it been chalev of another animal, would be mutter, even without shalom kedarko, if you're following my logic, when we apply the principle of sicha kishti. So that's a very difficult question. And one more point, David, and then the floor is yours. And what's an afkamina between the two lashonos? Again, one lashon of the first lashon of Rabbi Yochanan insists that shalom kedarko is only a patur in achila. But as far as hanah is concerned, any benefit that you get, if you get benefit from it, and you're not a crazy, you know, you didn't do it in a way that might harm yourself, then you get malchus for that, or at least you violate the Torah law of Yisur Adno. It's the second lishna that extended Rabbi Yochanan even to Yisur Adno, that if it was shalom kedarko in Yisur Adno, just like in achila, shalom kedarko is part of, so too in hano, shalom kedarko is part. Yeah, David.
Could it be that just like chametz is only usher to us during Pesach, but all year is mutter? Could it be that by Yom Kippur, only on that one day, that shmearing is like drinking? And all year long,
So the Gemara derives from sicha kishti on Yom Kippur that truma to a zar, which is also in achil and shesia, is usher in sicha as well. So if I'm not a kohen and I want to take oil that was extracted from olives of truma, I'm in violation of Sicha Kishtia. So you see that Sicha Kishtia is not limited to Yom HaKippurim, but rather it's a universal halacha, and therefore it should apply in the case of Chelev, even if it's not a Shor HaNiskal. Forget about Isur HaNoah, there's no Isur HaNoah in Chelev, but nevertheless, there's a halacha of Sicha Kishtia. Therefore it should be Osu Losuch B'Chelev, even if it's Tam Chelev, it's not Shor HaNiskal. And that is because of the principle of Sicha Kishti. Okay. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Afana Nami Tnina. I also want to derive this conclusion from a Mishnah. And you may remember this discussion that we had last week about what's called Zeya B'Alma. You remember that?
Yeah.
If you don't remember, you'll get a little chazorah here now. And by the way, if anyone has a some sort of a way of holding this up, I don't know if you can think of. Anyway, I'm assuming Yehuda can hear my voice, so that's the main thing here. You want to try that? Okay. All right. It's not. It's very. How should I say? This is not. Again, I need one of these little stands they have. Okay, fine. Let's go on. Now, remember, that Arla is one of the few cases of Iser Hanah, that means the produce of the tree during the first 3 years since its planting, and that has to be burnt, that's Arla. It's also even in Chutzlarts, as we said. Ela al hayotze min hazesim min hanav bilvad. The subject of this Mishnah in Masechta Trumos is what's called mashkin. Mashkin hayotze min haperos, what we would call the juices of fruits. You know, as we extract the juice by squeezing the fruit. And the Mishnah establishes that there are only two fruits where the juice has the same status as the fruit itself, and those are zeisim, which means olives. So from the olives we extract what? Oil. And anovim are grapes, from which we extract wine. But other fruits, ve'ilu, however, in contrast, tusim, tenim, rimonim, other fruits, so if I crush, for example, strawberries or figs or pomegranates and I extract from that the juice, is then I don't get malchus. And Rabbi Zera thinks that this is a proof to the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, my timer. Isn't it so? Lav mishum de lo ka'achalu kiderech hana'asam. Meaning the normal way of using a fruit, let's say in these cases of tusim, te'enim, rimonim, as opposed to zeisim anom, is to eat them as they are, not to crush them and remove the juice from them. How much juice can you get out of a strawberry? Again, we live in a very affluent society, so you know, even though people like to eat strawberries, but they like strawberry juice. You know, you can take rimonim, and instead of eating the rimon, you can get pomegranate juice. We buy it today in the stores, pomegranate juice. Became very popular, pomegranate juice. But back in the time of the Mishnah, you know, this is an unusual way of enjoying a pomegranate. We eat the fruit, what's called a basar apri, and we don't do what's called schita, to squeeze out the mashke and drink the mashke. And if we do so, it's shalom kiderech hana'asam. That's not the normal way that you would benefit from these fruits. And that seems to prove Rabbi Yochanan Shita, at least in the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, that Shalom Kederech Hana'asam is not a violation. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says, Nein. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The basis of the Mishnah has nothing to do with Shalom Kederech Hana'asam. And in truth, even if you would convince me that it was Derech Hana'asam to drink pomegranate juice, it would still be Potter. Why? If you would have told me a chiddush with regard to the pri itself, that if you had the pri itself and you ate it in a way that was unusual, let's say for example you cooked it instead of eating it raw, right? I don't know what a cooked strawberry tastes like. I'm assuming they make a pie out of it, you know, strawberry pie, compote, or whatever they make out of it. So that might be a chiddush if you told me that we don't usually eat it as kompot, you know, we don't usually cook it, we eat it raw, you know, and you want to tell me if you eat it cooked, then you're not chayv, that would have been a perfect proof for Rabbi Yochanan. But hacha, here in this case of mashkin ayotzim and aperos, that's a whole different reason, mishum dezeh v'almahu. That's not included in what's called a shame pri. When the Torah prohibited arla, it prohibited a pri. The juice within the pri, if it's extracted, is not called a pri, and therefore it doesn't have a shame pri, and therefore it's not included in the Yisr Ola. That's called Zeya V'alma, which literally translates, it's like sweat, you know. And what we're saying is, if it's not a pri, it's not included in the Yisr Ola. Sayil Gabi Achila and Sayil Gabi Ano. So you know, any Ano that you get from the fruit is awesome, but any Ano that you get from the juices of the fruit, that's not included in the Yisr Ola, because that's not called a pri. I have a very interesting footnote here. He says that in the case of Zeisim Vanovim, when you extract the oil and the wine, he says, if you drink the oil and the wine of Arla, you get Malchus for that. And the reason for that is because we derive that from Bikurim. In the parish of Bikurim, the Torah says that you have to bring Tirosh V'Yitzhar, which is the oil and the wine. And it means that the oil and the wine have the same status as the pri itself. And therefore, just like in Bikurim, it has the status of the pri itself, and you'd have to bring this to the Mizbeach as Bikurim, so too we derive Truma from Bikurim, and we derive the Yisur Arla from Bikurim. Bikurim becomes the kingpin, becomes the Binyan Av to teach me that in all cases, Yayin and Shemen have the same status as the original pri. The Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that we should really make a borei pri ha'etz on shemen. Again, the Gemara says that normally we don't eat shemen, but let's say in the case of anagron, let's say you needed to soften up your harsh throat, then you should make a borei pri ha'etz. In the case of yayin, the Gemara says because of the chashivas of yayin, they were masakin a new bracha instead of borei pri ha'etz. They gave it a bar priya gofen. But in any event, we derive arla from bikurim, we derive a truma from bikurim, and now we have a din that shemen and yain have a status of pri, and the halacha of mashkin hayotzim and aperos lo avi kamosam, that it's zeh v'alma, that doesn't apply in the cases of zesim v'anovim. However, he says, Yesh Sovrim, She'enom Chashuvim Pri, Ugzer Sakosim She'dinom Kipri, L'chol Dovar. He has another approach that says that although the principle of Zeya B'Alma should apply even to Zeisim V'Anovim, the Torah said, we're not going to apply the principle of Zeisim of Zeya B'Alma, and therefore we're going to grant the status of a Pri to the oil and to the wine. But really, it's not the pri itself. It's like the pri, he says. Dinam kimmo ha-pri, with regard to arla, with regard to bikurim, with regard to truma, and it's not necessarily so to call this a pri. So when you drink oil or wine, you're not really drinking the pri. That's the shita of Rabbi Elazar Mimetz. And we don't know all the repercussions of that shita, but for that we'd have to learn this more be'even. Now here's another question. Let's say you take arla in tusim, te'enim, and rimonim, and you remove the mashka, you squeeze out the juice. Are you allowed to drink that juice? In our Gemara it says, and the Mishnah says, ein sofkin es arboim, we relieve you of the chi of malchus, but are you allowed to actually drink these drinks? So we mentioned last week that on this issue there are three different shitas, from one polar extreme to the other. The Rambam shita is that these liquids are osur min haTorah. It's arla. You don't get malchus, but it's osur min haTorah. That's the Rambam shita. Others say that it's only an isur d'rabbanan. And some say that it's even mutul lechatchila. I think we paskin pretty much that it's osur midirabbana. So b'kitza, the shakla v'tari of the Gemara is that Reb Zera thought he had a proof for Rabbi Yochanan based on the fact that in the case of tusim v'tainim rimonim, you don't get malchus, and that's because shalok der chanosim says Abai. No, the reason why you don't get malchus has nothing to do with shalok der chanosim, but it's rather because of the principle of what. Of Zeya B'Alma, Mashkina Yotzim and Aperos. So all this is more or less a review of what we did last week, and now we start the new sugya. Omar Abaye. Hakol modim b'kloy akerem, shalokim aleim afilu shalok yederech hanosam. Here is the first case that we have of note that is an exception to the rule. And everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yochanan, even according to the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that there's a p'tur of shalok kederech hana'asam, just like shalok kederech achilasam, and the exception to the rule is kloy akerem. Kloy akerem means that he plants a tzemach in close proximity to a vine, to a vineyard. Now exactly what the close proximity is, we don't know. That for that you have to learn Masechta Kilayim. And now you have sort of an admixture between the Geffen and this Tzemach. Let's call it Tvuah. Let's say, for example, if he plants wheat in close proximity to a vine. Now notice that in this case, we have a couple of exceptions to the normal rule. Number one, Klai HaKerem is not only osur in its product, the final product, but it's also even to create Klai HaKerem. In other words, the planting itself is prohibited. That's number one. Number two, the produce of that illegal planting is prohibited, but not only in achila, but even in hanah. And Klai HaKerem is osur banah. We'll see exactly how we know this. But number three, and here's the punchline for our sugya, the Iser Hanah of Klai HaKerem applies even shelo keder hanasam, even if you do it and you enjoy the benefit of it in a very unusual way, nevertheless, you're still liable for violation of the Iser Hanah of Klai HaKerem. Now again, according to many Rishonim, in general you don't get malchus for violating an Iser Hanah. And the Lashon of the Gemara once again is problematic because it says Lokin Aleihem, you get malchus for this. So according to one of the Achronim, he says that the reason why you don't get malchus for Iser Hanah is because the derech is to eat it and not to benefit from it. And therefore Hanah is considered like a Shalom Kedarka, it's unusual. However, in the case of Klai HaKerem, you're chayav even on Shalom Kedarka, and therefore you get malchus for Klai HaKerem. Brilliant chap in the name of the pre-Torah, I'm not familiar with him. And he's quoted in the Poskim in Yoredeya to say that clearly you get malchus for Klai HaKerem if you benefit from Klai HaKerem. And the reason why you get malchus is because now you don't gain anything by calling Hanah Shalom Kederach Achilasa or Shalom Kederach Hanasa, because in the case of Klai HaKerem you chayv even Shalom Kederach Hanasa. However, according to the Mishnah Lamelt that we mentioned earlier in the Rambam, that you don't get malchus for Yisuri Hanah because it's not explicit in the Torah, so you're going to have to say that only applies to the case of Yisuri Hanah that are derived from the Pasuk Lo Tochal. But in the case of Klai HaKerem, the Torah explicitly prohibits Hanah. And where does the Torah prohibit Hanah? And the answer is, the Pasuk says in Parshas Ki Teitze, Lo Tizra Karmacha Kelayim, Pen Tigdash Hamaleah. Now, literally speaking, Tigdash Hamaleah could be interpreted as meaning that you somehow sanctify the result of Kelayim when you plant Kelayim. But that doesn't make any sense. So Rashi tells us that the word Tigdash has to be split into two parts. That's called notrikun, when you take apart a word into its various letters. And he says you read the first three letters of that word, Tuf, Kuf, Dalid, and then the Shin is representative of Esh, of the fire. And Tuf Kuf Dalid means Tikad, Tukad. Tukad means to set a fire. And it means that the Torah is telling you that with regard to Kelayim, if Kelayim were planted, the result of produce has to be burnt, has to be put to the torch. And the reason for that is because it's Osir Bachil. Now it's interesting that if the Torah says that you have to take Kelayim and burn it, what does that imply as far as eating it? Obviously it's awesome. You can't eat it. Otherwise the Torah wouldn't have said, put it to the torch. And not only that, the Torah is implying that you're not allowed to have any benefit from it. That it's also banah. Says the Gemara, my timer, why is Shalom Kederach Hanasam in the case of Klai HaKerem Chayav, Mishum Delok Siv Behu Achila? The Torah never said, thou shalt not eat Kelayim. The Torah said you have to burn Kelayim. Pentigda Shamaleh means it's got to be put to the torch. And therefore, we have no reason to distinguish between the Kederach Hanasam and the Shalom Kederach Hanasam. What do we mean by that? The problem with Shalom Kederach Hanasam is that when you derive the Iser Hanah from the word Achila, which again, according to Chizkiyah, would only apply when it says Lo Te'achel, or according to Rabbi Avo, whenever the Torah prohibits Achila, then the Achila has to be Kedarka, and the Hanah, which is implicit in the Achila, the Lo Sochal, is also required, it has to be Kederach Hanasam. But if the Torah never used the word Achila, then we expand the scope of the violation of Hanah to include any kind of Hanah, even if I would be nene in an unusual way. So I have this klaya kerem, and I use it as a salve over my body, and that's not the normal way you would use it, and nevertheless, Abai says you're chayim. And why? Why is klaya kerem the exception to the rule? Because in all other cases, like take for example Arla when or Shar Niskal, when the Torah wants to tell you it's also about not use the word achila. And we know that the word achila means kedarka. And now we're going to say that hano, which is derived from achila, also requires kedarka. But in the case of klaya kerem, where the Torah never said achila, the isra achila, the isra hano is derived from the mitzvah of sreifa, the requirement of burning it. Here, the Torah includes everything. All coins, all forms of hano are included in this violation, even if it's hano shalom kedarka. When the Torah says achila, let's take for example in chametz. What would you say about a person who eats chametz in an unusual way? Or he benefits from chametz in an unusual way? If he could somehow take chametz, I don't know if you had an oily kind of chametz substance, and you would put it on your body as a salve, you would not violate. Why not? Because
it says
achila. The Torah says lo te'achil. And when it says lo te'achil, it has to be kedarka. So that would be one case of achila. You could add arla to the case of achila, and therefore the ano would be has to be kedarka. You could add shara niska where the Torah says don't eat it. But in the case of klaya kerem, where the Torah never said don't eat it, therefore the isra ano derived from the halach of sreifa will include even shalo kedarka. Now let me ask you a question. I'm testing you now. What would you say about basa v'chola? You have to trust me that Basar Mechalav is Asar Manah. Can you trust me on that? I'm not fooling you. So if you're going by, you know, a McDonald's and they're making cheeseburgers, you got to be careful that you shouldn't enjoy the smell of the cheeseburgers, let's say. I don't know if that's true or not, but let's just throw that out. Now, what would be if I would benefit from Basar Mechalav Shalo Kederech Hana Asar? Would I be Chayv or not? Can we get a debate going here? Let's get a little debate. David, you say...
I say you're not...
You're not a chayv, because it's shalom kedarka.
Correct.
Gesh, you want to take another opinion?
It says we're not supposed to eat it, so therefore...
But no, but it doesn't say achila. Guess what? Here's where I test you. The Torah never tells you that you're not allowed to eat basar mechal. Did you know that? That's pretty shocking, right? The Torah says lo tevashel. In fact, the Torah repeats itself not once, twice, three times the Torah repeats lo tevashel. But one thing is clear, the Torah never spells out or formulates an isra achila with regard to basar mechal. And if klaya kerem is going to be a paradigm, according to Abaye, for isuri anot shalok sivu achila, that they're also even shalok kedarka, then we should add basar mechalav as a subcategory to klaya kerem. And that's what we're going to see in this Gemara right now. Meisvei, the Gemara asks a kasha, an objection to Abaye, from a brice of Isi ben Yehuda, Isi ben Yehuda Omer Minayin, Lebasa Mechalav Shu Asur. How do we know that you're not allowed to eat Basa Mechalav? The Torah never tells you you're not allowed to eat Basa Mechalav. But the answer is we have what's called a Gzera Shava. Nemar Kan, in the case of Basa Mechalav, the Torah says, Ki Am Kadosh Atah, the rest of the Pasuk says, Lashem Elokecha, Lo Sevashel Gedi Bachalev Imo. So the end of this pasuk is the Isur of Bishol Basar Mechalav. The beginning of the pasuk, it calls Yos an Am Kadosh. V'nemar lahalon. A little bit later on in the Torah, that pasuk was in Shmos Yudal. Now fast forward to Shmos Chaf Beis, and there it says V'anshei Kodesh Tiyud Li. And the end of the pasuk is Ubasa Basada Basada Treifa Lo Sochelu. So in the parish of Treifa, it also calls us Anshei Kodesh. So we take the word Kadosh in the case of Basar Mechalav, and we compare it to the word Kadesh in the case of Treifa. Is Malahalon. Just like in the case of Treifa, Asur, you're not allowed to eat it. Afkan, here too, in Basar Mechalav, Asur, you're not allowed to eat it. Okay, fine. So now we've established, based on the Gzeres Shava between Basar Mechalav and Treifa, that Basar Mechalav is Asur Bachila. Eli Ela Bachila, as far as I can tell from this Gzeres Shava, because again, Treifa, the Torah says, like Elf Tashlich, and also it's Mutavana. So how do I know if I'm deriving the Isra Achilat Basar V'Cholav from Treifa? How did I know that Basar V'Cholav is also even Be'Hanano Minayin? Amrit, we're going to derive it from a Kal V'Chomer. This is the famous Kal V'Chomer of Isi Ben Yehuda. Everybody's heard of this Kal V'Chomer. This is a very complicated Kal V'Chomer, because this Kal V'Chomer on both sides would imply that whenever the Torah says it's also to eat something, it's also by not. I'll prove it to you. Here's the Kal V'Chomer. Ma orla shelo nevda ba avera. The Torah says in the case of orla that it's asura ba'ana. You're not allowed to have any benefit from orla. The Torah requires that you burn orla. And the chiddush is that in orla, what did I do? I planted a tree. Is there anything wrong with planting a tree? But the produce on the tree is awesome for the first 3 years. Even ba'ana. Is basar v'chalav shenevda bo avera? In the case of basar v'chalav, the Torah says that what? What does the Torah say? You're not allowed to cook it. If you're not allowed to cook it, then you violated an avera by cooking it. And then hence you end up with what? With basar v'chalav. Is eino din, how much more so she'asar ba'ana? If orla is asar ba'ana and you didn't do anything wrong in creating the orla and producing the fruits on the tree, then basar v'chalav, where you violated an iser of cooking the basar v'chalav, how much more so would it be asar ba'ana? So the footnote, he says, well, what about basar v'chalav where there was no avera? Let's say, for example, the guy would cook basar v'chalav. Again, you have a problem with vishalaka, but that's only in the Rabbanan. Or, for example, what would happen if a piece of meat fell from a high place into a boiling pot of milk and it was cooked? Would that come under a case where it's mutar b'ana according to this gemara, because bas v'cholav is only also b'ana because of the kal v'chomer from orla, which means that if bas v'cholav is nevda b'avera, what happens if I come up with a scenario of bas v'cholav where it was not nevda b'avera? So all of the mafarshim unanimously say that that's not true. The gemara doesn't mean that you violated the aver befal, you know, in actuality. What the gemara means is that the act of bishul is objectionable in the Torah's perspective. Maisa bishul shall basa b'chalav mitu av b'enei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chei nesar al Yisrael. It doesn't matter whether basa b'chalav actually was created through an avera, a maisa bishul b'avera or not, but the bishul itself is something that the Torah doesn't want. And therefore, it becomes also to Yisrael, and deriving it from Orla with a kal v'chomer, it becomes also by no. L'chein bas v'cholav, eino domali Orla. Orla, no tsar b'maisa, heter gomor. No maisa isa. I mean, just planted a tree, and that's great. You know, we'll give you, in Tu B'Shvat, we'll give you a special prize for planting a tree. And Bas V'Cholav is different, because Bas V'Cholav comes through a process which the Torah finds objectionable. The Torah doesn't want meat cooked with milk. Now again, it's very difficult to understand what he means by when he says that Ma'isa Bishul Shal Bas V'Cholav Mituav B'Enei HaKadosh Baruch. I don't know what he means by that. You know, the guy is cooking Bas V'Cholav. So what? That's Mituav B'Enei HaKadosh Baruch. I don't know exactly what he means. But he means that the creation of Basar V'Cholav itself is more often than not involves in a case where it could be a Maisa Avera. That's why, by the way, I've had students who decided to go to chef school. In fact, two of my students over the course of the year are excellent chefs. One of them, I think you'll see if you ever go on these OU-sponsored cruises or whatever it is, it could be a Talmud of mine. But when you go to chef school, you have a real serious problem, because they cook meat and milk together. And by learning and training on meat and milk, you might have violated an Isra Hanna. And this Isra Hanna is derived from a Kal V'Chomer from Orla. Oh, so the Gemara now has what's called a Pircha. Now let's explain what a Pircha is. A Pircha means that for your Kal V'Chomer to be effective, it's got to be consistent. Absolutely ironclad. Meaning, this is Kal, and this is chom. So we have orla is kal because lo nevda ba'aver. You had every right, and we encourage you to plant a tree. Whereas possible chalav, the bishul itself is mitur of b'enei Hashem. But supposing I can find a kula in bosa v'cholav and a chumra in orla, meaning that there's something about orla that's even more chamur, that would justify why orla is also manon, and that would block you from deriving the conclusion in bosa v'cholav that bosa v'cholav likewise should be also manon. No, I'll tell you why the orla is more chamur than bosa v'cholav, and that's called shekein lo hoisa lo shasa kosher. Now, if you own your own gemara, and you don't mind making lines in the Gemara or highlights in the Gemara, this should be highlighted because we're going to have a whole discussion about those words, Shekein lo hoisa lo shasa kosher. And what this means is the following, that the fruits of Arla, and I'm saying it in a very superficial way, I mean, we're going to have to really pick it apart into its minute details. But just in the ofen gasioter, just in a general sense, I would say the following. The moment that Arla, the fruits of Arla, come into this world, let's call it the birth of Arla, from the moment of the birth of Arla, it's already Osir. Now we haven't determined when is the moment of the birth of Arla. That's a concept called chanota. We'll get back to that later. But it means that orla lo hoisa lo shasa kosher. Now, to appreciate lo hoisa lo shasa kosher, I think we'll work backwards, just for pedagogical reasons. What's the case of something shahoisa lo shasa kosher? That's going to be the case of basa b'chol. If we understand the case of basa b'chol, then by contrast, we'll see why orla is classified as lo hoisa lo shasa kosher. What happens in the case of basa b'chol? When I put meat and milk together, before the cooking process begins, what is the status of that milk and what's the status of the meat?
Uncooked.
Uncooked, but as far as halach is concerned, is it heter or is it iser? Until you cook it.
It's heter.
It's heter. Again, you know, maybe all sorts of rabbinic exerus, if I'm talking on a deraisa level, in the Torah's eyes, this Iser of Basa B'cholav only emerges after Bishul. So up to the moment of Bishul, I have Cholav, which is Mutter, and I have Basa, which is Mutter. Again, the Basa was shefted properly. And the Cholav was milked from a kosher animal. Everything is Kedasu Kedin. The Cholav is pure Heter, and the Basa is pure Heter. Everything is Mutter. That's called Hoysol HaShasa Kosher. In other words, you cannot look at Basa B'cholav and say that this entity called Basa B'cholav was always Basa from the moment it was born. On the contrary, it was born as Basa, it was born as Cholav, and each one independently is Mutter. That's called Hoysol HaShasa Kosher. Arla, from the moment the arla is produced on the tree, which is called Chanata, it's Basa. Now, what is Chanata? That's way beyond the purview of this discussion. But I'm going to give you the simple pshat in Arla, but I wish you would just forget it, because it's probably not true. But it's a superficial way of understanding Chanota. There's a Rashi in Chumash that says that Chanota means kishenofel haperach, right? If you take a look, for example, at an almond tree, right, Shkeli HaPorach, if you know that song, then you'll see that it has flowers on the tree before the nut begins to grow.
Blossom.
It's a blossom, I guess you call it. A perach is a blossom. U'maschil litzmoch ha'pri b'mkomo. Now what happens is, the pri itself will replace the blossom. And at that moment, where the blossom falls off and the pri starts growing, that's called chanota. And at that moment already, it's osur midin arla in the first 3 years of the production of the tree. So therefore, the case of Arla is lo hoisa lo shasa kosher. There was never something that was mutter, and then it became osur. Why? Because from the moment that it came into existence, from the moment of its birth, when the flower fell off, at that moment, the beginning of the pre, it's already Arla. It's already Arla at that moment. You see, I'm not sure about Klayakar. Klayakar is a little bit confusing to me, because when you plant... when you planted, let's say, wheat in close proximity to a vine. So how do we analyze that? Do we say that, well, the wheat itself was heter, it had a shas hakosh, it only became prohibited later on? I don't know. In the case of basar b'cholov, something which was mutter, meaning the basar was mutter, the cholov was mutter, that became basar. It became basar. And that's called hoysel o shas hakosh. Something that was mutter became basar. In the case of Arla, you can't say about Arla that something that was mutter became also, because the very moment that the pre comes into existence, it's already also. In any event, which of these two categories is more chamur and which is more kal? Now I'm asking you for an intuitive response. Something that had a shasa kosher, would that be more chamur or more kal? Vis-a-vis something that never had a shas hakosher, was osur from the beginning. Which is more kal and which is more chamur?
The first is more kal.
Which is the first? I don't even remember which came first.
So the second one is the one.
Okay. Again, this hoysel shas hakosher and lo hoysel shas hakosher. Which, I don't know which is first or second. If it had a shas hakosher, that's kal.
That's what I said.
Excellent. Yeah. And that's going to be basar b'chol. The whole premise of the Kal v'chomer was that Arla was Kal, because basar b'chol of the Torah doesn't like this process of bishul. That's repugnant in the eyes of the Torah. Whereas Arla is perfectly fine, you know, fine and dandy, plants a tree. But now I'm going to show you why the Torah might be more machmir in Arla, hence I can justify the Isra Hanah in Arla, than it would be in basar b'chol. Because in Arla, guess what? It never had a shas hakosher from the very moment that the Arla popped its head out, so to speak, and emerged as an existing pre. It was already awesome, and therefore the Torah doesn't like Arla. The Torah really doesn't tolerate Arla. If you follow, I'm just being dramatic. But in the case of basar b'chol, you know what? It's a knapper isa. I mean, what's so awesome about basar b'chol? After all, the basar is mutter, and the cholav is mutter. So hoysel o shas hakosher. So the Gemara says that's a pircha on the Kal v'chomer.
Does it make any difference that the orla will at some point become mutter? After 3 years, it's going to lose the shame of orla, but the basar b'chol is always going to be this mixture.
So that's a little complicated, David, because orla never becomes mutter. What happens is that there'll be fruits in the fourth year because that's called revive, but in the fifth year there'll be fruits that are not called Arla. So it's hard to say that Arla can ever become mutra. The only thing that you point out is chametz. Let's say chametz is something that in and of itself it will become mutra after Pesach. Again, there's something called chametz she'avol of Pesach, but that's something else. That's where he violated an isur. But let's say a guy owns chametz. That chametz, which is also to me today during Pesach, becomes mutter tomorrow. So that's a good point. So the Gemara says the following: Mali Arla shekein lo hoysel lo shas hakosher tomer v'basar b'chol shahoysel lo shas hakosher. So Gemara says chametz v'Pesach yochia shahoyel lo shas hakosher. Interesting. Chametz will be your paradigm, a case of something that was mutter that became awesome, and yet it's also ma'anah. So you see that the Torah never considered the fact of hoysel o shas hakosher as a mitigating circumstance. You know, let's be lenient, let's be more kal with regard to basar b'chol because hoysel o shas hakosher, and therefore we're going to alleviate basar b'chol of the Yisrael. No, I'll prove to you from chametz that despite the fact that you have yesh lo shas hakosher, nevertheless, it's still asur manah. No, so at this point, the Gemara is saying that now you have to rely heavily on chametz. In other words, now the fact that chametz is asur b'anah is going to give you a basis for the conclusion that basar b'cholov is asur b'anah. And I'll prove it to you, because both chametz and basar b'cholov are very similar. They both share the common denominator of hoysel shas hakosher, and yet chametz is asur b'anah. And therefore, all is asur. And therefore, basar b'cholov should be asur b'anah. So Gemara says, wait a minute, you can't derive any conclusions from chametz. Chametz is in a category of its own, and the Torah is extremely, extremely machmir in chametz, and I'll prove it to you. Malach chametz shekein, bepesach shekein, onush kareis. If you violate the Yisra'chil of chametz, you get kareis. Tomer v'basav v'chalav sheino onish kares. You know, in the worst case scenario, with Edom and Asra, the worst punishment we can impose upon you for eating basav v'chalav is only malchus, but there's no chiyuv kares. So maybe when the Torah says that chametz is also manah, that's part of a package deal, because the Torah is very machmir on chametz. It's an isur kares, and the Torah adds an isur anah. So now, can you show me something which is hoysolo shasa kosher, which is only aser b'malkus, and yet it's aser b'anah? And the Gemara says, I found it. In the case of klai akerem, because if you violate the Yisrachil in klai akerem, you don't get kares, you only get malkus. And yet klai akerem is hoysolo shasa kosher. The Gemara assumes now, you'll see the Gemara is going to backtrack on this, but the Gemara assumes now that klai akerem is exactly similar to basav v'chalav. And what's the similarity between klai akerem and basav v'chalav? So the answer is that there are two similarities. Similarity number one is hoysolo shasa kosher. Both in basav v'chalav, something that was mutter became asur, and in klai akerem, something that was mutter became asur. Number two, in both cases, you only get malchus. Now at this point, the Rishonim asked the following question: so why didn't the Gemara just derive the isra and non basav v'chalav from klai akerem? And that's called a binyan av. A binyan av means if you have two cases that are similar, then you equate them. That's called an analogy. And if klai akerem is aser manah, then basav v'chalav should also be aser manah. So the Mefarshim answer that in a choice between two methods of deriving a conclusion, of deriving the halachic conclusion, A is what's called a binyan av, meaning a tzad hashov when you equate two things, and B, a kal v'chomer, we always prefer a kal v'chomer. So the arla kal v'chomer is really our agenda for today. We would like to derive the isra anah and basav v'chalav from arla with a kal v'chomer. You'll ask, well, arla never had a shasa kosher, so here's where I'll introduce klai akerem, because klai akerem had a shasa kosher, and nevertheless it's also manah. And that's just the support to plug up, if you will, a hole, you know, a pircha on the kavachomer from Arla. But we are ultimately coming back to the kavachomer from Arla. You had a pircha on the kavachomer from Arla because maybe Arla is also manah, because lo haisa lo shasa kosher, and that's the chumer of Arla. I'll prove from klai akerem because klai akerem had a shasa kosher. I couldn't prove it from chametz that chametz haisa lo shasa kosher, yet it's also manah because chametz is what? Is an isur kares, but if I introduce klai akerem has the advantage over chametz, is that it's shavah v'shavah, it's equal to basav v'chalav, they're both an isur lav without kares. And now, there's an equation here between basav v'chalav and klai akerem, so far as both of them had a shasa kosher. And yet the Torah says in klai akerem, let it go up in flames, meaning it's also manah, pentukta shamalea, and therefore, I'm going to derive from Arla that basav v'chalav is aser manah. If Arla, which is lo nevda ba'aveira, is aser manah, how much more so basav v'chalav, which is nevda ba'aveira, right? Because the Torah finds bishul metuah, how much more so basav v'chalav should be aser manah? You'll tell me maybe Arla is more chamor because Arla is what? Is lo haisa lo shasa kosher? Lo haisa lo shasa kosher? From the moment that he emerged, it was also Ba'arla. I'll prove to you from klai akerem, which hoysolo shasa kosher, and yet it's also manah. So the introduction here into the matrix of klai akerem is only to support the kal v'chomer. But at the end of the day, if I were to test you and ask you from what isur hanah do we derive the isur hanah in basav v'chalav, what's going to be the answer? Arla. Does everybody have that? Arla. So the Gemara says, now we have a kash on Abaye. Because again, if you can introduce klai akerem, and I can find a chumra in klai akerem, then that already completely undermines your derivation from klai akerem. And according to Abaye, we have a chumra in klai akerem that we don't find in other isuri anah. Namely, that klai akerem is also even what? Shalom kederach hanasam v'yim isa. If you are by your correct, I don't understand the rice of Isa ben Yehuda. Nifra, if we have a pircha, how can you derive any conclusions from Klai HaKerem, and therefore derived conclusions that the Iser Hanoh and Basar Mechalav Mala Klai HaKerem. Klai HaKerem has a Chumra Shekein Lokin Aleim Afilu Shalom Kederach Hanoh Asam. The Torah says in Basar Mechalav, you're only chayv if you eat it kedarkom. But in the case of Klai HaKerem, the Torah says even Shalom Kedarkom. That's a Chumra in Klai HaKerem that doesn't have its parallel in Basar Mechalav, and therefore maybe the reason why the Torah prohibits Hanoh and Klai HaKerem is because Klai HaKerem is more chamur, and I'll prove to you that Klai HaKerem is more chamur from the fact that it's also even Shalom Kederach Hanoh Asam according to Abaye. Mashen Kein Basar Mechalav is more kal, and therefore doesn't deserve an Isra Hanoh, because Basar Mechalav is Asar only Kedarkom, and not Shalom Kedarkom. Are you with me on this? I mean, wow, this is mamish, unbelievably profound, this sugya. This is not the kind of sugya that you could learn after the cholent on Shabbos, you know, when you're half asleep. You know what I'm saying? Every Shabbos, you know, after the meal, I sit down on the couch, I take a sefer, and I think, oh, I got 3 hours till mincha. I'm going to prepare all my shiurim for the next week. And yeah, 30 seconds later, I'm out to lunch or after lunch. So Abaye now comes to defend himself against this pircha. He says the following: every pircha ends up with Tomar Bid X. That's called Tomar Bid Mai. Mai is the general pronoun, but then you fill in the details. So how can you derive any conclusions from Klai HaKerem, which is us or even Shalom Kederach Hanosam, to Basar Mechalav, which is what? Which requires Kederach Hanosam. What a joke! You made a big boo-boo! Why? Because Tomar Bid Basar Mechalav Shein Lokin Alev El Kederach Hanosam. That's not true. The Torah never said thou shalt not eat basar mechalav. When the Torah says lashon achila, it means achila kedarka. And I know it's derived from the word achila, it also requires kedarki nachayv shalom kedark. But in the case of basar mechalav, where does the Torah say that you can't eat basar mechalav? Nowhere. The Torah says don't cook basar mechalav. So just like in the case of Klai HaKerem, nowhere does the Torah say that you're not allowed to eat Klai HaKerem. The Torah says just set it aflame. So too in the case of basar mechalav, the Torah never said thou shalt not eat basar mechalav. Hence, the Isur of basar mechalav applies even shalom kederach hanasam. So now we have two exceptions to the rule of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that you're only chayav for hanasam if it's kederach hanasam. Now we have two exceptions according to Abaye. Number one, the case of Klai HaKerem. Number two, the case of basar mechalav. And they both are exceptions for the very same reason, namely that the Torah never used the word achila. If the Torah never used the word achila in Klai HaKerem, and therefore Klai HaKerem is also even Shalom Kederach Hanosam, the Torah nowhere uses the word achil with regard to Basar Mechalav, therefore Basar Mechalav is also Shalom Kederach Hanosam. And the Rishonim here tried to understand what the Gemara was thinking when they asked this pircha and objected to Abaye. But for our purposes, we have something very clear. And the Torah never said achila in the case of Basar Mechalav. So what was Gemara thinking in the Hagavina? Are you ready for this one? It does say achila in basar mechalav. I've been fooling you. I love to fool you. Just for the shock effect. Because now I'm going to tell you the Torah does say achila in basar mechalav. Where does the Torah say achila in basar mechalav? I challenge you here. All the Talmidei Chacham are sitting in the room. Where does it say achila in basar mechalav?
Nevela.
You're very close. Not nevela, but trefa. Because if you remember, there was the word kodesh, and that was the gzeir shavah. Just like in the parasha of Trefa, the Torah says that we are anshe kodesh tiyun lachem, and therefore Trefa basal lo tochelu. And here in the parasha of basar mechalav, it says ki am kodesh hashol Hashem alkecha kodesh. Now I take the word achila in Trefa, where the Torah says lo sochlu kol Trefa basar mechalav lo sochelu, and I take that word achila through the gzeir shavah, and I grafted onto the parasha of Masa Mecholah as if the Torah said don't eat Masa Mecholah, and therefore the Gemara insisted on the Pirch against Abayim, because the Gemara insisted that Masa Mecholah, like any forbidden food where the Torah says don't eat it, is also only Kederech HaNosam, but Shalom Kederech HaNosam Yerpatur. Hence the Gemara has a Pirch from Klai HaKerem, because in Klai HaKerem Abayim you claim that since the Torah omitted the word Achila, therefore you're Chayav even Shalom Kederech HaNosam. In the case of Basa Mecholav, how can you be Chayav Shalom Kederech HaNosam? The entire Isur of Achila in Basa Mecholav is derived from Trefa. And in the parashah of Trefa, the Torah says, don't eat the Trefa. And if the Torah says, don't eat the Trefa, then via the Gzeirah Shava of Kodesh Kodesh, I'm going to derive that the Torah is telling you not to eat Basa Mecholav. And if the Torah says not to eat Basa Mecholav, that's only Kedarka, but Shalom Kedarka is Potter. Hence, I have a Chumrah in Klai HaKerem and a Kula in Basa Mecholav. How can you use Klai HaKerem as a proof that there's an Isra in Basa Mecholav? That's what the Gemara was thinking. What was Abai thinking? Abai was thinking, it doesn't say Achil in Basa Mecholav. The Gzeirah Shava is only to tell me that there's an Isra Achil in Basa Mecholav, just like there's an Isra Achila in Trefa. If you want to be Anshei Kodesh, again, for the Goyim, they're not called Anshei Kodesh. They can eat as much trefa as they like. Fress away on trefa. We have a sensitive soul, and therefore we don't eat trefa. Same thing as Basa Mecholav. If the goyim want to eat in McDonald's and they want to fress away on cheeseburgers, so zayin gesund, let them be stark and healthy. What do I care? They don't have that sensitivity. But we are called Anshei Kodesh, and therefore we have a sensitivity to something that will affect that spiritual makeup that they don't have that sensitivity. But says Abai, does it say anywhere in the Torah thou shalt not eat Basa Mecholav? Lashon Achila doesn't appear at all in Basa Mecholav. What am I deriving from Trefa? I'm deriving from Trefa that we have to be sensitive. Just like the Torah says don't eat Trefa, we have to be sensitive and abstain from eating Basa Mecholav. But the Torah doesn't say thou shalt not eat Basa Mecholav. Lashon Achila doesn't appear in the parasha of Basa Mecholav. Hence, Basa Mecholav is like Klai HaKerem, and it's awesome Hanah, even Shalom Kederech HaNosam. Awesome. And we're left with the beautiful Kal V'Chomer from Arla, with the Pircha on the Kal V'Chomer, because Arla is Lo Ha'isolo Shas HaKosher, whereas Basa Mecholav is Ha'isolo Shas HaKosher, and here we're going to plug it up with Klai HaKerem, because Klai HaKerem, like Basa Mecholav, is Ha'isolo Shas HaKosher. V'idach, and we'll finish now with this, V'idach Dekar Mosivla, and the Makshan, who asked on Abaye, and objected because of the Pircha, Savar, he held the Hachika Gomer Min Avela. Now the word Avela, that's what David, you quoted before, but all the Mepharshim say the word Avela, it means Trefa. And Reb Chaim Brisker has a whole Torah about Trefa and Avela, that they're both really fundamentally at root the same Issa, because if the animal dies without Shechita, meaning that if a Trefa, the animal's going to die, so then it's not the Shechita that's killing the animal. The animal is already considered a Trefa. It's already like it's dead because it has an internal wound in one of its vital organs, it's going to die. In any event, the word Nevela here, you can cross it out, and I would not object if you put in the word Trefa instead. But in any event, Lahachi kagamami Trefa, Mala Trefa Derech HaNa'asam. You're only chayiv if it's kedarka, because the Torah says Basa Mecholav Trefa Loso Chelu Af Basa Mecholav Derech HaNa'aso. You're only chayiv if it's Derech HaNa'aso. V'abaye Lohachi Lokosav Achila V'gufo. It never says in the Guf HaParish of the Yisur Basa Mecholav, the Torah never used the word Achila Lomar, in order to teach us Shalokin Olav Afilu Shalokin Derech HaNa'aso. And here, because we don't have enough time to finish the sugya today, I'm going to hope that when we start tomorrow, we'll be able to somehow, mamish plug into here. I don't know, those who come on Mondays and are not here on Sundays, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off. I should penalize them and force them to come 15 minutes early so that they'll be able to follow. But that's what we're up to. Vilifroch, if anybody has a pencil, I'd like to make a note of it here. Let's see. Oh, I found the pencil. So we'll know where we're up to here on Daf Chaf Hey Amid Aleph. And we'll take this opportunity to wish Reuven a Ferguson to Hayden and a Mazel Tov and a grandson's bris, St. Kleinikai. When are you leaving?
Tomorrow.
Wow. Straight to Didmus, huh? I'm just joking. So it should be B'shat Tov Mislachas, Itov Ismano, the baby should be healthy and should have lots of nachas. I'm not going to ask if you're going to be the Sandik. I would put in a plug if you're making the schlep for Eretz Yisrael. You know, you deserve some of the calls, but nobody's going to ask me, so okay. Just take this.